Last year, I started my words of introduction with, the first weeks of confirmation were, well, how can I describe it? Quiet. This year, I'm going to say, the first weeks of confirmation were, well, how should I describe it? Loud. Loud, chaotic, fun, full of joy, a lot of chatter. Each of these youth came in not sure of what was going to happen. Some of them were afraid they would fail the class. Some of them felt like they didn't know anything at all. And some of them came in feeling just the opposite, anticipating the year sure-footed in their faith. But for the most part, even the loudest of them became quiet and began watching each other. Sharing thoughts and personal reflections were stressful times. But as time went on, we developed a trust level between us, and they began to take chances by expressing their thoughts and feelings with me as a teacher and with one another as students. Today, we are going to reverse those roles. Today, you all become the teachers, and we become your students. The faith statements you are about to share with your church family are going to change our lives. You are going to open our eyes to new understandings. You are going to ask us to join you on your own faith journey. And the good news is we will come along happily, young and old, experienced and novice, because we all have something to learn. We will listen to you and support you, but most of all, we will love you as sojourners and as brothers and sisters in Christ. So without further comment, I present to you the confirmands of 2015.
Hi, I'm Kendall R. Kayla Lieber. There was never just one precise moment I can remember where I just embraced God or thought to myself, I know my religion and I know exactly who I am. Before confirmation, I had no idea what my religion was and who I was. One of the many lessons I learned through this class is that our religion, congregational, was just one little umbrella under the main umbrella, the big umbrella, Christianity. While that may have been a big lesson, there were so many other things that I also learned that had more to do with not just what religion we were, but with faith and ourselves. At first, that didn't make sense to me. How did my religion, my faith, and who I was come together? It didn't make sense to me at first. But now I've learned there's not just one answer. To everyone, how these things connect, how people find faith, are all very different. One of my favorite quotes is, "Life isn't about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself." I believe we were all given a body, but what makes us up, our being, our soul, is our soul. Since technically we have ourselves, we should take the body, what God has given us, and spend our life here making it who we are today. God isn't going to make us for us, but I've learned he will always be there. Through confirmation, I've heard many different kinds of faith. To me, faith is believing without actually seeing. I believe in God. I know he's there, but yet I cannot physically see him. At first, I didn't know why I thought that. Was it because it seemed like the right thing to do? Was it because it's what the Bible said? Or was it because it's what my parents believed? I really don't have an exact moment where I may have realized it, but I knew. In my heart, I know God's up there guiding me. I'm the one making the decisions, but events in my life, the good and the bad, through praying and having faith, he will be of help. Another thing I've learned is that every action we make has an equal and opposite reaction. If we do something positive, it can inspire others. For example, for confirmation every month, each person has to do a secret service, a random anonymous good deed for a neighbor, a friend, or someone who deserves it. Jenna Kimball and Grace Sitling baked cookies for their neighbors, a simple good deed, but then they learned that those neighbors had been inspired to go ahead and do something kind for other neighbors. The downside is, though, that every negative action will in return also have a negative reaction. I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. But what I know now is you just have to move on, to try your best to fix it and to make things right, but to not get hung up on the imperfections. Try your best to focus on spreading positive actions. I now do what I can to be helpful, to think of others, and in all, be happy and positive. By embracing God's help through life, by taking what I'm given, and by helping others, I've become someone I'm proud of today. I'd like to believe now that my religion comes from faith and in all is what makes me the person I am today. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Genevieve Kimball. I believe God gives us many opportunities in life to make choices that are good. But sometimes I think that we don't choose his way because we tend to put other people's opinions before ours. Other people tell us what they think we should do and how we should do it. We never really stop and think about what he wants for us. And I feel that some of us regret some choices we have made and wish we could go back and change them. But the reality of it is, we can't. We somehow have to face the facts that this has happened. I believe that praying and talking to God can help us move on and make better opportunities for ourselves in the future, which can also help us move on from the mistakes we have made. Now, I'm not saying every choice we make is a bad one. What I'm trying to say is that God will be there for whatever choices and mistakes we make in life, good or bad. I remember a time where I said something to my friend that I should not have said, and I wished more than anything to take it back, but I couldn't. There was no possible way for me to go back and take back what I had said. But I knew deep down that I had something to keep myself from making. I had to do something to keep myself from making that mistake again. I started by thinking about how I can't keep regretting the past, I then thought about how the mistakes I've made in the past will just keep me from making them again in the future. What also helped me was praying. Praying allowed me to release all my thoughts and feelings and not feel as if I was being judged by others. Praying and releasing these thoughts of the past will help me to make better decisions in life. In Isaiah 41, there is a passage that says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This passage made me realize that God is always there. If things aren't going your way, and you feel lost and confused, and feel like there is nothing you can do to stop it, know that God is there, and that he will help you through it, and he will always be there to help guide you. There was a time where I felt as if everything wasn't going my way. I made some bad choices, and I lost some friends, and I wasn't acting like myself. I was lost and confused, and I was being mean to my parents, and I didn't understand what was happening. Everyone kept telling me that it was going to get better, and everything was fine, but I felt like it wasn't. I felt as if I was going to stay this way for a long time. I didn't know how to handle it. I regretted all the past decisions I made and hated myself for becoming this way. But one night, my mom handed me this little prayer book called Jesus Calling. And she told me to read some of the passages. At first, I was thinking, no way am I reading this. But I actually picked it up a few times and saw that it helped, that it really did make me feel better. It made me realize that God is there for me, no matter what. And that, yes, I made some mistakes, but I shouldn't spend my life regretting them. Instead, I need to stay positive and believe that God has a plan and will help guide me. And believe that even if I made a really bad mistake or I was feeling lonely, God will always be there for me, and he will continue to be in my life forever. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Wynn Diefenbach. I have definitely struggled with the writing of my faith statement. It is not easy to write about something that is hard to define, hard to measure and quantify, hard to buy, and even harder to just will yourself to have some. I go to school, I do my work, I spend time with my family, and I enjoy my friends. I go to church with semi-regularity. All of that is very important, but does not completely explain to me what my faith is. So someone suggested to me to think about something that is important to me. Something that I have strong feelings for, something that I'm passionate about, something that helps define who I am. Then when I find this thing that someone said, see if it somehow relates to my understanding of my faith. I begin to think of all the experiences in my life that I could relate back to my faith, and faith in general. I thought back to all the concerts I've been to in the past 3 years. Everyone likes music of a sort. Not everyone likes the same kind of music. They have their own tastes. Nevertheless, everyone likes music. At these concerts, I've always squeezed my way up to the very front, despite how packed the crowd is and how oversized the bodies are in front of me. Up front, I can see things perfectly. I can see how the band plays their music and how they project it to their fans. For me, I feel the most passionate about the world around me when I'm at these concerts, watching the band play, and being shoulder to shoulder with all kinds of people from many different walks of life. Though I may be the youngest person there, I can tell all of these people, foregoing personal space, feel the same way I do. And so many times at concerts, everybody knows all the lyrics and they sing along the whole time. When the hundreds or thousands of fans sing along with the band, it is hard to tell whose song it actually is. It becomes everyone's song and we are all connected in that moment. Hundreds of people, regardless of their backgrounds, squeeze together, singing together, sharing together the songs that comfort and ensure us. Maybe this is faith, listening to a message all together but from seemingly everywhere. Feeling enlivened by the message and in step with the message giver, taking in that message deeply, feeling better for it, and desiring to share that message with other people. Maybe this is faith, or I think this is faith, sorry. I'm not quite there yet, to be honest. I feel more celebratory at a concert than at church, but I see the parallels. So I try to listen more closely, to welcome more deeply the songs sung here by from the mouths of the faithful. While all of this is still perplexing, I make my start here. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sam Stewart. Ever since I learned about evolution in seventh grade, I have started having doubts about God, Jesus, and the Bible. This conflicted me because I went to church almost every week, and I learned things that seemingly contradicted what I'd learned in school. Although in the past I had no idea how both evolution and Adam and Eve could be real, I soon learned in confirmation class that I was thinking about the Bible wrong, and that there was a solution to this dilemma in my head. I was taking the Bible too literally. God may not have necessarily created the world in 7 24-hour days. These days could be metaphors for millions of years, even millions of billions of years. We could be living in the seventh day right now, worshiping God after a long, long, long week. Jonah may not have literally been swallowed by a whale, and Noah may not have literally led animals two by two onto an ark to escape a 40-day flood. These are all metaphors for things we may not have come across yet in our lives. In a recent confirmation class, we talked about death and dying. I left this class thinking about life, death, and God much differently than I have in the past, and I learned something both mind-blowing and valuable, and I hope I never forget it. First, you start with the simple idea and fact that nothing can be created out of nothing. Everything is created out of something, even the tiny atoms that make up the paper I'm reading from, the seats you are sitting in, and the ceiling above us. Once you establish that idea, you now know that every one of us was not born when our birth certificates say we are, but through cellular reproduction, in actuality, we have been around since the beginning of time. Through our time in this vast universe, we have experienced many things that would kill us as human beings, such as having our lungs filled with fluid in our early times in the womb, yet we never actually died. Since we have been around longer than we can wrap our minds around and never actually die, how could we possibly just die and stay dead when our bodies stop working? How could life possibly just end after all those years without us going to heaven? It does not make sense to me that people think that life just ends with nothing more after that. This class gave me a new perspective on life, death, and even my faith. I now feel that I can trust God to keep me safe, and although he cannot make me invincible, I know that when I die, I will have someplace safe and warm to go. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marie Fulda. When I was younger, I used to imagine God as the wise-looking man on the front of the Planters peanut jar. Maybe this was because I didn't know much about God or because I had never seen a picture of God. Religion is a difficult topic since a lot of it has to do with us just believing without hard facts or definite proof. This is especially hard because in other aspects of our life, such as science, we are told to not state anything without evidence. And in English class, we are told that we have to back up everything we state with evidence from the text. However, in religion, all rules are more or less off. Although there are pieces of evidence here and there to support the things we believe in, our beliefs have to fill in the holes. As I've gotten older, I've started to wonder, what if this thing that I've been worshiping all my life doesn't actually exist? But over time, I realized that I do believe that God exists, If God didn't exist, how would I have had my prayers answered when my cat went missing? How would I have gotten through the times when people close to me passed away? And how else would I have gotten through the rough patches of my life? When I was 7 years old, I wrote a poem where the main line was, "I love my beautiful church. It is the one place where God always is." Even when I was at a very young age, not much older than when I thought of God as a man on a peanut jar, I knew that there was something special about our church, and I could always feel God in it. A couple of weeks ago in confirmation class, Laura told us about a man who walked into our church and immediately felt God's presence. Then 2 weeks later, a different person expressed the exact same feeling to her. I believe that the reason for this is because we have so many people who are full of God's Spirit, and they fill our church with that Spirit. For example, we have Laura and Paul giving the whole church their all each and every week with new and interesting spiritual topics that we learn about. They also have to run multiple after-church activities and meetings and still manage to keep their energy up. They teach every person who walks into our church, including the younger kids, with the children's sermons that are always so fun for them, but also include really powerful messages. From Laura and Paul, I've learned so many things about God, Jesus, and the Bible, and I can't thank them enough for that. From them, I've learned to greet difficult situations with an optimistic attitude. Then we have all of the choir directors, Marnie, Philip, and Elaine. These three people help in more ways than anyone can imagine. Not only have they helped people in our church discover their love for music, but they also incorporate music into our church, which helps everyone to understand God and our whole religion at a deeper level. There is something about music that can really touch you, and maybe this is part of the reason why, for example, there's not a dry eye in the house after the singing in the Christmas Eve service. These people also can get anyone to sing. They can get people who don't even like to sing to get up in front of the church and perform in the choirs, pageants, and shows, and enjoy it. These three people are so passionate about what they do, and I see God personified in them. Next, I owe a church member every time they welcome new members with open arms and treat all the members like family. When I was younger, whenever I came to church, I would imagine God shining through the stained glass windows at the very back, watching over the sanctuary as Laura and Paul were giving their sermon. I still believe in this. However, now I can see that our church is even brighter now from within, as I see God's lighting shining out from each and every person here. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Grace Zilling. In many of our lives, we reach a certain point, a turning point, if you will, when we have a choice to go down one of two paths. We can both blame God for everything bad and learn to see things pessimistically, or we can realize what we have been taught is true and that God does not control your life. He simply guides you throughout your journey. I have experienced many things already throughout my life, and I believe that some moments are more important than others. I also believe that in these crucial moments, God stays by our side. A passage in the Bible from Proverbs 16:9 describes this very well. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. There is a beautiful story in my grandma's dining room hanging on the wall next to the china cabinet. I look at this story almost every time I visit her, reflecting on it, trusting in what it means. The story goes as follows. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it had happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said that once I followed you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." And the Lord replied, "My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, It is then that I carried you. On January 13th, 2012, a great and loving man died. He was a simple man, and he was friendly, and he was kind. He went from being a Marine in World War II to working in his own little store in Greenwich, Connecticut. This man was deeply loved and greatly appreciated by his wife, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchild. This man was Rocco Straza, and he was my grandfather. I remember everything about him, his cute little laugh to his warming smile. His voice was the kind of voice that made you feel comfortable and at home. These things and all of the wonderful things he did in his life will never be forgotten. A memory I will never forget is the last day I spent with him. I was called out of my sixth grade social studies class to leave school early. The drive to the hospital hurt. Only the saddest thoughts had crossed my mind. Walking through those white halls and hearing the beeping of the machines and the nurses and the doctors communicating with each other made it feel real. I walked into his room and sadly greeted my other family members. I saw him laying on his bed, his heart still beating and his mind still working, but unable to communicate with us. I could almost hear him saying hi to me. For the next hour, my family and I sat in a circle, crying and talking about great memories. When it came the time for us to leave, my mom informed me that this was likely to be the last time that I saw him. I was crying with my sisters and my cousins and my parents. We each walked over to him and said our goodbyes. When it was my turn, I went up with my sister and stood by his side. This was the hardest thing I had ever had to do. We cried, and I put my hand on his for the last time, about to walk away, when a single tear fell from his eye. I had been questioning God throughout this journey, wondering if he was really there, or if he really even cared. But in this moment, I knew he had been there all along, and he wasn't ever going to leave. Losing a grandparent is one of the toughest experiences in a young person's life. We all know that it will come, but we don't usually think about it until it happens. I have thought about my grandfather's death many times. I believe that most people don't get a goodbye from family members that have passed away. But after watching that tear fall from my grandpa's face, it is easier for me to accept that he will be okay. That single tear meant many things. He was able to say his goodbye, and he was able to tell me that he will be better now. This moment was my turning point. I know now that God is not controlling everything in the universe or everyone's lives, but he's definitely there. God gives us choices, and we have to make decisions for ourselves, but we need to always remember that even through the hardest times, he will be there guiding us and watching over us in a way that makes us who we are meant to be. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sasha Mead. This year, through the confirmation class, I was asked to reflect and analyze on my relationship with God, and there are certain events I would like to share with you. Earlier this year, someone in my family passed away at 58 years old. When he was growing up, he was one of the smartest people in his class and in his school, and everyone he met thought his life was very promising and full of hope. He went to Brown University and then to law school, but he dropped out in his second year and things started to unravel. He stopped believing in his path. As an adult, he often pushed people away and couldn't find a way to make relationships last. He worked in Washington as a lobbyist and became a cynical and seemingly lonely man. When he died, I wondered, why wasn't God there for him? How come God didn't reach out and help someone who he knew needed so much help? I didn't understand why he died so young. As I thought about it, I think that he couldn't make his relationship with God last. Maybe he didn't believe in God. Although, I heard before he died, he spoke to a minister to ask questions about the Psalms. Maybe he knew he was dying and wanted to make peace with God. A couple of months ago, Paul told this story in his sermon, where a man asked God to show him he was there. God sent many signs to the man, such as a bright light in the sky when he was asked to show himself, a baby being born when he was asked to perform a miracle, and when asked to touch him, a butterfly landed on the man's shoulder, and the man just brushed it off. Maybe sometimes when people reach out to God, they just don't see the signs, and they lose faith and stop believing. I noticed that while things were going well for my relative, and he was successful, he was not a happy man. I wonder to myself, what is it in life that really makes people happy? I realized that some of the happiest and most grateful people I've ever met were ones that lived in extreme poverty. 2 years ago, I went on a mission trip with a small group from my middle school to the village of Tambayacu in the Amazon of Ecuador. These people had close to nothing. Many small children had bloated bellies because of the bacteria in the water. They didn't have shoes, toothbrushes, toothpaste, or any of the basic things we have. All 60 or so of the children in the village went to school in two small rooms in the center. Their playground was a small dirt field with broken bottles everywhere, one old soccer ball, and two ancient goals. We donated water filters to try to improve their quality of life and their health, but in the end, I think they helped us more than we helped them. Even though they had nothing, they were so happy and very grateful for our help. I think the reason they were so content was because of their faith and their relationship with God and with each other. Maybe one of the reasons my relative wasn't happy is because he thought God abandoned him, and he pushed God away, just like he pushed away all the close people in his life who cared about him. In contrast, the Ecuadorian people could have been sad and angry at God, blaming him for the conditions they live in. But instead, they were grateful for what they received, however small it was. Their happiness has led to two realizations in my life. Having faith with God can make you happy, and how very blessed I am for being part of this church, part of the supportive community, and part of my loving family. Now, all I need is a way to find God on my own, but I think I saw a glimpse of him in the delighted, grateful little kids in Ecuador.
Hello, my name is Claire Langdon, and I am here to share my faith journey with you today. Human sin has been passed through the generations of mankind since the fall of Adam. In the story of Daniel, Daniel is a righteous Israelite born into the sinful world of Babylon. Throughout the trying experience of having his faith questioned and eventually forbidden, he stands true to God and comes through victorious. We have been born into a metaphorical Babylon of the 21st century, but I continue to stand strong like Daniel. I believe in the presence of God, living one life, which is focused on the purpose of serving God and his son, Jesus Christ. The story of Daniel has played a very constructive and significant role in my life. When I first learned of it from Mrs. Whitmore, we were rehearsing the story for the summer play. Because the morals were instilled in me at an early age, the meanings have recurred in my life and provided a light which has led me through the deep quagmire of this immoral world. Babylon was the focal point of false idols, immorality, and human flaw. Adam and Eve committed the first sin and were cast out of Eden, creating a fallen world, and humanity has followed their lead. The devil has infiltrated every possible way into our lives, and we are immersed in a society of sin that rebukes and forsakes the one true God. We can compare our flawed world to Babylon, where Daniel and the other Israelites were summoned to be servants of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel acknowledged the sin of the world, and he and his friends stayed faithful to their beliefs, despite the obstacles that the king threw their way. Throughout his many trials, Daniel used these as witnesses of his faith. When persecuted, he stood strong and credited God. When Daniel chose to follow the commandments of God, he set an example for my faith. By his example, he demonstrates to the Babylonians that even trifling things, such as dietary restrictions, which came from the book of Leviticus, can make a person better. Of course, these policies no longer pertain to us, as God abolished them in the New Testament. But they testify to the fact that even small sacrifices have significant impacts. This example shows that God cares about everything we do, even the smallest details, and facilitates my understanding of how much God cares about us and wants our full love and respect. Daniel understood that God had a plan for his people, and that that plan is stated in the Bible. He followed that plan, and his example provides demarcations which lead me up the steep hill of life. In my faith journey, I have been confronted by temptations as Daniel was. However, those temptations have been limited in social media, music, movies, technology, and subject matter that my family does not believe is constructive to the human soul or mind. In this way, I have avoided some of the devil's temptations that creep into our civilization and adhere to our beliefs in this Babylonian culture, as Daniel did in his. When faced with temptation, I sometimes falter. I think of Daniel and how he defied the king's sinful propositions, and in doing so, pleased God. In my faith journey, my hope is to please God, and I will try to make judgments that demonstrate that respect. I would like to thank this church for presenting these biblical stories, which have paved the way for the future of my faith journey, and for being a solid foundation where I can continue to construct the intricate and ever-evolving tower of my faith. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Schertz. Religion is a very touchy subject. Everyone believes slightly different from the rest. Religion creates conflicts, debates, and sometimes even war. Even though it causes all of these bad things to happen, it also creates many good things. Religion creates love, community, and forgiveness. I want to focus in on the good things about religion, but I can't ignore the bad parts. The only thing I have left to determine is if the good outpowers the bad. In our church, the good obviously outpowers the bad. Everybody is in this giant community of love and forgiveness. The mission trips and community service that this church has organized has brought happiness to many. However, if you look at the big picture, religion doesn't always bring happiness. Terrorist groups, the KKK, and other religious groups have done and are doing horrible things in the name of religion. Many wars, such as the Crusades, the Israeli-Palestine conflict, and other wars, were the cause of conflicting religions, creating death and destruction. But I think these bad things happened when people turned religion into an excuse. An excuse to invade other countries, an excuse to kill, an excuse to argue, to fight, or an excuse to be considered a good person, all in the name of God. Now, I'm not a historian, a rabbi, a priest, a mullah, a pandit, a Hindu, a Greek mythologist, a Native American shaman, or anyone who has a full understanding of different religions. So I cannot say with certainty that my ideas are right, because I am not all-knowing. I am not God. But I think that if I can use religion in the right way to connect with God, connect with myself, and connect with others, then I am proud to call myself a Christian.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Charlotte Meyer, and I have been a part of this church since birth. First, I would like to thank Laura Whitmore for her leadership and amazing spiritual journey in this confirmation class. She has enhanced my knowledge and perspective on the world and religion. God is now very present in my life, patting me on the back, and this gives me strength every day. I would also like to thank my mom and dad for leading me on a meaningful path in life and loving me. Finally, Jack, thank you for being a supportive brother, giving advice, and loving me. The most influential person in my life is my brother, Jack. I have been inspired by the way he has handled the challenges in his life, and they have motivated me every day. I remember in sixth grade when I tried out for Little Shop of Horrors. I thought I had a great audition, but sadly, I didn't make the cast. I was devastated, and when I got home from school, I ran up to my room and cried. Jack heard me and came into my room. He calmed me down, hugged me, and said, "It's okay, I love you." This encouraged me to keep working harder in my voice lessons and keep singing. A year later, when I auditioned for Your Good Man, Charlie Brown, I was confident, proud, and ended up getting a part in the cast. The significance of this helped me to not be ashamed. I'm young and healthy, and things are not always going to go my way. Jack has also taught me to go above and beyond what is expected in school and be kind to others. He has been through a tough time with his shoulder injury, but continues to be a positive role model. His injury has prohibited him from playing his favorite sport, tennis, for the last 2 years, but he has continued to stay active every day. A few years ago in English class, I came across a poem by Mother Teresa called Anyway. This poem inspires me every day. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend your years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may not be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in final analysis, it is between you and your God. It was never between you and them anyway. This confirmation class has brought me closer to God and my own beliefs. I am now able to stand up and say, I know the meaning of God, the Bible, and why I need it in my life. Through confirmation, I have been strengthening myself with God's love, and I am very thankful and grateful for that. Thank you.
What does faith mean? To me, it means unconditional love and forgiveness from God, a greater power to believe in with open ears at any time, a place to know that you are safe and always protected. When I think of faith, I think of the saying, everything happens for a reason. I believe that God has a greater plan for each and every one of us. By having a personal path, we all learn the life lessons and achieve our greatest goals without even knowing. I decided to get confirmed in the belief that I would become closer with God and have a better understanding of how important faith really is. I cannot pinpoint a day or time in my life that made me decide this, but believed that I would somehow be giving back to God. I believed that every day there are ups and downs, and the way I get through them is knowing that I have a path and believing that I am being taught a lesson through my mistakes. Throughout my short life, I have learned what it means to be close with a greater power. I have learned that accepting consequences was one of my personal ambitions that I wanted to overcome. Having open ears to listen and believe in helped me tremendously. I learned to push myself and know that I could do anything if I tried as hard as I could. Not only has faith helped me, but also my parents. I believed that getting confirmed would show my appreciation for others, and especially my parents and everything they do for me. Confirmation has helped me become closer to God and believe in myself. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Grace Flink. The word faith cannot fully be defined. Faith means something different to every person. Some people may believe in unlimited amounts of faith, while others may not have a deep faith. Sometimes, those people who don't have faith wish they could believe. Well, some of you may agree with what I am saying, and others may disagree, but isn't that the gift of faith, that we can have different ideas? Welcome to my faith statement. Faith to me is a jumble of things. It's what I think of myself, my friends, my family, my whole life. I believe in lots of things, like love, laughing. I believe in honesty and kindness. Yes, I think it's normal to bicker with your sibling over silly things because it's just a part of life. Nobody is perfect, and I've learned that through growing up with a younger brother. It is not always easy. There are times when my brother and I love and times where we can't even dare to talk to each other, but I still love him because I accept him for who he is as a person. Accepting people for who they are is a part of my faith. I enjoy meeting new people and exploring new qualities about each person. At Southport Congregational, I have learned to appreciate more, love more, be myself more. I'm only 15, but faith has affected my life. I lie in bed at night and pray for those who need healing or need some comfort, and I thank God for what he has given me. I believe that my faith is connected to God, and by praying, he understands my feelings. As I sit in church, I end up thinking about so much more, asking myself questions and wondering what is going on. I think about God every day, wondering what he thinks of the world he has created. I don't believe in faith only being reached in church. I believe faith is available at any moment. Being a part of this church has taught me to believe in love. Through the confirmation process, I really enjoyed spending time each week in a room talking about God and how things evolve. There are moments when you don't feel like going to a sports practice or a special event, but I've never had a time where I didn't want to come to confirmation class. I almost wish it was more often because I do enjoy relating to my feelings and appreciating how lucky we are to have each other and to learn so much more about our religion. I've realized that faith is a helpful thing in life. There are challenges that have and will continue to be thrown at us, and through faith we will make decisions on how to handle those challenges. I have wonderful friends and an amazing family who support me and respect me for the person I am. Thank you.
Good evening, and welcome back. I'm so grateful for the chance to sing this song for you today, because I feel that it reflects some of what you've been talking about just now. The song is called Help Is On The Way, so that's not an incredibly difficult message to figure out. But it speaks to, I think, something that you've been talking about a lot regarding your faith, which is resilience. And when things go bad, and when things don't, where do you turn to, and where can you go? And this church, directly, not just faith, but specifically this church, has been a foundation of love and support for so many people, me included. So this song is a little, not just an idea, but something that I firmly believe in, that's true of the people in this church, that not only when you're going through a difficult time, they're here to celebrate with you as well, but when you need help, there's a whole community and group of people here for you. Give up the ship, even when you feel it sinking, and you don't know what to do. Don't give up your dream, even though you may be thinking it never will come true. Life has its own ideas of how things come about, and if you just hang in there, life is gonna work it out. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today, from friends you may not have met. Say, I know help is on the way. You don't have to know where the path you're on is leading. You just have to walk along, dreaming as you go, asking for the things you're needing. You never will go wrong if you have faith that things are happening as they should, and just believe each step you take is leading you to something good. Help is on the way from places you don't about today, from friends you may not have met yet. Believe me when I say, I know help is on the way. So open your heart, open your mind, no matter how you've tried and failed, tomorrow turn and find that help is on the way. From places you don't know about today, from friends you may not have met yet. Believe me when I say, I know help is on the way. Help is on the way.
Hello, my name is Grace Murphy. I am told that I was a very spiritual little person, and I remember that being so. The first books I ever read were picture Bibles and What Would Jesus Do stories. I used to listen to, for hours and hours, to books on tape of my favorite Bible stories and the Odyssey adventures, as well as sing millions of catchy Christian children's songs. It seemed that God was all around me at all times, especially through the loving people in my life. I was aware of God as his presence, which was often revealed to me through either my family in a moment of forgiveness, the ministers and youth leaders at Southbrook Congregational Church in the sacredness of the sanctuary, and the camp counselors at Deer Run during conversations as we delved into scripture. As I grew older, my awareness and attention to God seemed to fade from my everyday living. Yes, I still went to church most Sundays, but my energy wasn't focused on him throughout the week. As well, I started to question a lot of things that I had been so sure of before. I began to ponder different, bigger concepts. I craved more answers, yet had to live with knowing I only knew few. I still live with these unanswered questions nagging at the back of my brain. I will share some of my doubts with you. Even though the confirmation class discussed creation, I don't understand how God could have made the earth. Who made him? Did he make himself? Even though he gave us free will, how can he let some people pass through earth without ever believing in him if he was the one who made them? And mostly, how can he know me and know that I'm so unworthy of his love, yet still love me? This last question has laid heavy on my heart for a long time. It seems to be what is holding me back from putting all my confidence in him at all times. Not that I don't trust God's love, but sometimes it's hard to believe that I can be loved unconditionally. His unconditional love makes me weepy thinking about it. Because of this ambiguity in my life, I like to perceive God as more of a personable figure. Instead of an incomprehensible idea or object that is so blurry to me, I see him as an old friend. Earlier this year, I had a conversation with a couple of my close friends and did something I had never done before. I talked about my faith with people who had little to none. I explained to them how comforting it is to know that I will always have a listening ear that I can talk to, how his type of love for us is something that we will never receive from any human, and it will be there for eternity. I broke down at this point, feeling for the first time the relief of this nervous excitement that had been building up in me as I tried to grasp God's love. Thinking about this unconditional love from my God released the burden of other relationships in my life, either good or bad. It comes down to just God holding me in his gentle hands. I do not know where I will go from here, or how my relationship with God will be tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that. But I would like to share with you the lyrics of a song that has helped me come to terms with this state of unknowing, yet somehow being at peace. It goes as follows. I stand up to praise you, but I fall on my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. So light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Maggie Cruz. Because my mother is a church choir director along with Philip Betancourt and Elaine DeGrood, my family strongly values music within the church. As a very young child, I was put into choir. My parents sang in the senior choir, my brothers and I in the kids' choir. At such a young age, music was a fun pastime in church, along with eating snacks and listening to Laura in church school. Okay. But I realize now that church is much more than my juvenile pleasures. It is a place where I acquired a lifelong passion, which is music. It is because of church choirs and pageants that I've gone on to do several musicals and productions, every time increasing my love for theater and the arts. The first time I was in the pageant as a tiny angel, my love for theater was born and has grown tremendously ever since. Most kids on Christmas Eve care about presents and Santa Claus. While that was a factor in my childhood Christmas, nothing made me happier than to sing at the Christmas Eve service. Singing Silent Night and Joy to the World with the congregation felt more magical than anything under the tree. Plus, of course, all the beautiful music I did with the choirs. And it is this music that makes me feel closer to God more than anything. Who knows where I would be right now if I didn't join this church with its amazing music program. It's because of this church that I'm continuing to pursue theater and music, and I want to throughout college and throughout my life. This church has introduced me to people and opportunities to serve God and sharing my musical passion with others. I always have wondered how people know that there's a greater being. How do they know that there's a God? People have a tendency of not believing in anything they can't see, and it has been difficult for me to grasp the concept of a force that is there but that no eye can see. However, I can see God's love in smiling faces, feel his love in hugs and laughter, and see God's work in people helping one another. All of the love in the world makes me think that there just might be a God whom I see through people's love for mine, my love of music. While I'm still wondering and asking questions about Christianity, I have taken my leap of faith because I know I will always be safe in church. Coming to church is arriving in an oasis of love. I always feel loved and cared for there more than any other place. I plan to always have this love of church in my life because it makes every Sunday the best it can be. This love has a great deal to do with the people and the music in the church. I do music everywhere now, and it is through music that I can feel God's love wherever I go. I will continue to learn about God and Jesus to fully understand my religion through my prayer and music. Because music is a great part of my life, I can be connected to God even more. Dr. Simon Van Bowie has written, "Music is only a mystery to people who want explained. Music and love are the same, and I can't agree more. Thank you."
Hello, my name is Madeline Langdon, and I would like to share my faith statement with you today. When I was younger, my parents did not tolerate bad behavior, nor do they now. What are the consequences of bad behavior? The consequence of bad behavior is sin. Sin can range from hurt feelings to lying, stealing, and the inability to control temper, which can result in hurting the ones we love. This culture has become increasingly tolerant. Tolerance is good in the realm of respect for the beliefs of others, but not good when it allows an all actions or anything goes philosophy. Sometimes it seems that this country believes that being tolerant of all ideas is an indication of intelligence. Tolerance differs greatly from intelligence or education. Intelligence is the response to learning, making your own conclusions based on what you have learned. This country embraces many ideas to the point where conservative thinking is no longer tolerated. I believe in a standard of good behavior, but I do not tolerate cruel or bad behavior, and neither does God. The first commandment states very clearly, "Thou shalt have no other God but me." As a Christian, I believe that there is one God, and he is manifested through the Trinity, Jehovah, his Son Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God who lives within me. I respect the beliefs of others, but I do not make their beliefs my own. To me, that is intelligence, choosing a belief and standing with it. Respect allows people to understand the feelings of others while still having their own convictions and identities. Tolerance is enduring the beliefs of others and is less intelligent than formulating your own views. Can there be any greater intelligence than that of the Creator, who according to Genesis created all things? It is good to know and study about other religions, but it is better to know about your own foundations of faith. My foundations of faith can be found in the Holy Bible, which I believe to be true. C.S. Lewis set out to prove that Christ was an imposter. He studied, read, and contemplated. In the end, he deducted that Christ was either who he said he was or who is not. He was either the Son of God or not the Son of God. He was either the way to the Father or he was not the way. He was not just a good man. Good men do not lie. So he was either telling the truth or he was lying. My statement of faith aligns with C.S. Lewis. I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is the sole way to salvation. I would like to thank Reverend Whitmore for the opportunity to explore my thinking. It was during this class that I began to contemplate tolerance and its meaning. This was the catalyst that took me to analyzing and exploring my faith journey. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Abby Comey, and church has always been a part of who I am. I never questioned it, and my times inside the walls of whatever church my family attended just felt right. My early church school years were spent at a Methodist church in Washington, D.C. It had a massive sanctuary with worn stone floors, shining organ pipes the size of elephant tusks, and a breathtaking stained glass window above the altar. At the time, I thought it was the single most important room in the entire world. Whenever music echoed through that sanctuary, I was filled up with an overwhelming warmth, a warmth that still resonates inside of me whenever the organ starts to play here at Southport Congregational Church. This sanctuary that we stand in now and the people that fill it each and every Sunday have changed the way I look at the world. I am so incredibly grateful for the memories made, lessons learned, and lifelong bonds formed at this amazing church. But just as in DC, one of the things that lingers with me long after I've left church on Sunday is that feeling in my chest as though I'm being hugged too tight, but it feels just right anyway. As I've grown older, I felt this feeling of peace and contentment in so many other walks of life. I felt it far from the grand pipes of an organ or the light of a stained glass window. I feel this warmth when I'm with the people I care about most. I feel this warmth when I step outside of myself and help others in need. I feel this warmth when I learn to love those who love me least. And I feel this warmth when I spread kindness, when I love my neighbor as myself. Confirmation has taught me so many things. I discovered that religion is really confusing sometimes, and there isn't always a right answer. I found that being a person of faith is challenging and even a little scary at times. I learned to respect and admire people of all cultures and religions. Most importantly, however, confirmation and all of my time here at Southport Congregational Church have taught me that the light and love of God far exceeds the boundaries of a sanctuary. I'm not quite sure what exactly I believe in at the age of 15, and that's perfectly okay. What I do believe in wholeheartedly is the importance of being kind to others, and it is this warmth that I will always carry with me. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Alex Berg. Before confirmation class, I didn't know that much about Christianity. I knew where it came from and how it originated from what we were learning in school. I also learned about where the branches of Protestant came from. But confirmation class went more in depth on the minute and big differences between the religions. I would like to share with you of some of the things I learned. I believe that our religion bases its teachings on the Bible, and specifically the teachings of Jesus. I also understand why we have two sacraments instead of seven, baptism and communion. Are the two sacraments because they are the only ones that Jesus tells us to do in the Bible. I also learned that everyone else is not born a sinner. I also believe in the Holy Spirit and that everyone's connected on a level that is not discovered by science. If you ask one of my friends if they believe in the Holy Spirit, the answer is very predictable and will be no. But if a scientist told him something about energy, something you can't see like the Holy Spirit, my friends will believe everything in what he was saying. In the first class, Laura told us to take a leap of faith into Christianity. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is why I believe the Holy Spirit is real. There are many experiments to prove that somehow we are all connected. And the Bible says that it is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit that is inside everyone and everything. I believe that God is present in the church and as well as in our lives. I know this to be true for me because whenever I am having a crummy weekend, the church makes me feel a lot better. I am also not afraid to be who I am in this church. I always feel a need to hang out with the popular kids or be part of that group in school, and if you're not part of that group and you do something that is seen to be uncool, you'll be laughed and talked about behind your back. This makes it very hard to try to branch off and try new things. In church, I tried something I haven't done since the fifth grade, singing. I'm very, very embarrassed to do it anywhere else. This past January, I stood up with the youth group on Youth Sunday and sang. I was glad that I did it. No one laughed at me. No one judged me, even though I was really bad. Another thing I did at this church that I will never do anywhere else was be a part of plays and speak in front of large crowds. So yes, I believe in a God that is present in this church and as well as in my life, because I can feel it here, and this church makes me feel welcome, and I'm lucky to be a part of this family, and I cannot wait to be officially part of it. Thank you.
So I have one thing to do in the service, the benediction. Having heard all of the young men and young women speak, and before the service, Laura said, "Are you all set with a benediction?" And I said, "You know, it's interesting, but this is the one thing that I never have any idea what I'm going to say beforehand." And as I was sitting there, listening to these young adults talk about their faith from their heart and from their intellect and from their experience, and weaving all of these things together to say, "Here I stand, and this is what I believe," I was thinking what a challenge that would be for any one of us who are adults to be able to drill down and to ask ourselves, where do we stand? What's our faith? Where do we believe? And as I was processing all this and not only just listening to the kids, to the young adults, but really feeling the impact of what they were saying and thinking about them, about you, not only for who you are, but for what you represent in terms of youth. The one word that came to my mind was hope. And it hit me that when I listen to you, when I hear you, and when I feel the words that you're saying and the messages that you're giving as teachers, as theologians, what I feel is tremendous hope for humanity and tremendous hope for the future. And then came the words faith, and then came the word love. And at that point, I thought about this passage from 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm just going to share the end of this passage. And it says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reason like a child. And when I became an adult, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. And so faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. What you've shared with us is this faith, hope, and love. May they continue to abide in you as you have given these gifts to us, and may they abide in all of us. As we go from this place, take this faith and hope and love, and as they have asked themselves, where do I stand? Take the opportunity and give yourself a gift to say, where do I stand? What do I believe in? And how is God touching my life? Go in peace, go in faith, go in hope, go in love, and serve the Lord, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.